do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
My name is Jerb. This is Jumblefish, the battle of ideas.
Good God, thank you for joining in the trenches.
Yes, thank you, John, for having me.
It's a great pleasure. Just with regards to your surname, Gotz, it's German, but here in South Africa, in Afrikaans, that G gets a guttural sound. That's quite interesting how that's changed over the years. Gotz, it would be Gotz here in South Africa.
Dutch. I mean, I grew up close to the Dutch border in Germany, and I know that's how they speak.
But so, I mean, I can't speak German. Actually, I can't speak Dutch either. But it's interesting how that G sound has changed. So in German, you Dutch. Wouldn't use that guttural sound, would you?
No, the Dutch do that. I mean, that was 10 miles away from where I grew up. They spoke like that.
Don't you find languages and accents absolutely fascinating?
Yeah, how they change, huh? How you can even follow them if you go historically back. And like English basically was a German dialect until the 11th century. And then in came the Normans, imported a complete language, like French was just taken into English. And then that was kind of mixing together what is then English.
Is that why they say Germanic?
I mean, the Anglo-Saxons were Germanics. They came over from the mainland. And English people are closely related to us, although they don't like to be reminded of that for some reason.
But I mean, the UK, it's so small, and the diversity of accents is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you had, over in history, you had the Danish people coming over, and all kinds of, I mean, it was often... that there were the Normans, the Danish.
But I mean, what I'm getting at is in such a small geographical region, just England itself, the way in which people sound becomes so dramatically different. And I often wonder how that occurred or why.
Well, it was even more differentiated, like in the Middle Ages before. You know, before these central governments came, like in Germany, or even Germany, France, anywhere, if you were born in a certain place and you left that place for like 30 miles in any direction, you would no longer understand anyone.
I wonder why. Yeah, but that's what I'm asking. I wonder why.
They were similar. I mean, all these different dialects of German were similar, but different enough so that if you move away 30 miles, you don't understand the people. And then in came central governments and perhaps you have to speak like that, or you have to, like Paris came and they prescribed how everybody was supposed to speak French. And then it kind of developed that people could understand. But you can still see the differences, but the differences were much worse years, centuries back. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is that I find you easier to understand than many from people from the UK.
I understand that. I lived there for 3 years in London in the 80s. They have so many different... I mean, in London, you find really everything. I mean, you find all the dialects, all, everything from around the world, all the way people speak English, huh? The Italian way, the French way, everything. The Indian way, lots of...
So, okay, Ludwig, you've spent a long time researching Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings here. I find his work some of the best ever. I think if you had to ask me which is my favorite movie, I would say the Lord of the Rings trilogy, hands down. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's a bit of a departure from the books, but that's not the discussion. I'm saying the general storyline for me is just, it's just epic in every sense of the meaning. Why did you start looking into the symbolism?
Yes, that was in the first decade of this century. I had two friends who made me get interested. One was making me interested in the monetary problem that we have, and the other was writing books about the symbolism of the Bible. And I went into both because I had lots of talks with them. And I got fascinated by both. And I wrote my first book in 2008 then about the monetary system, what problems develop automatically if you circulate the money that the way it has been circulated for centuries now and is always circulated against an interest on debt. That's how money gets into circulation. That has different effects that you can calculate mathematically. Like you have an automatic scarcity of money. You get an automatic redistribution from the working to the rich and super rich particularly. So you have this automatic poor-rich divide that becomes ever graver the longer you circulate money that way. And today we have a world where a small group of people is about to create a complete monopoly on the whole planet. That's because the only one reason that is because we use the money that we use. And that I wanted to show. So we have the scarcity, we have the redistribution, we have the hostile competition where companies go to war because, and which is basically only because the money is set up the way it is set up. It wouldn't have to be that way. The next is automatic creation of waste so that the resources are wasted. Those resources are more and more wasted, and we transform the planet in more and more into wasteland because of having to keep up with the coercion to grow the economy, which comes along with the way money is circulated. So that, and then centralization of power, which is ever ongoing. Then the corruption of law, I mean, the distortion of law. Everything is becoming upside down. And ultimately, it's mafias and criminals taking over the complete legal system, which is what we have globally. And all that you can calculate is affected by the money. And you have this small group of people which are the only profiteers from the way money is circulated. So I showed all that.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
In my book, and then I thought, okay, this is all mathematics, and people are not so much interested in mathematics. They want to see pictures. They want to see. They want to have both sides of the brain tended to. And so I thought, so what do I use? And then my mind was always drawn to the Lord of the Rings because the central negative symbols are so precise in describing what money does, what kind of world is created by it. Because the One Ring is the monetary system. And the temptation, the strong temptation is that if you get a lot of wealth, you no longer have to work. So that's this. Everybody is striving for these this ability. I must have enough, and then I have this income, and then I have that income, and then that's what the whole world is for. And that's the One Ring, because this One Ring then creates a world that looks like I've shown, no? The destruction, the injustices, the immense power that the super rich have, the powerlessness that the rest of us has, all that comes from money. And then I showed that, and I went deep. Sauron is the small group of people who control the money and who have all the power, no? Which are mostly invisible. I mean, you have figures like Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, Bill Gates, but they are visible. They are not the most. They are not Sauron. They are just puppets of Sauron, of the people who have the real power over this planet. And so I went into that and used that, and it was very very well showing all these dynamics that I've shown. Particularly, there are nine effects that money has, and that's the nine ring race. So it all fit very well. And after I published that, I thought there's much more in it. And then for a few years, I went even deeper into it, and I saw it's not only about money, but it's a big spiritual message to the whole of mankind. The whole Lord of the Rings thing.
Okay, so just for clarity, you're saying that Tolkien symbolically depicted the entirety of mankind from
our history, and in the last 700 years, basically after the reoccurrence of the One Ring, you could say, after it was absent for some time, you can explain the historical developments of the last 700 years. If you look at the monetary system, it was a dominating factor. The money first, and then the hidden superpower that of the people who control the money, who steer everything in the way they want it. All that you can show through the Lord of the Rings, yes.
And you go all the way back to ancient Rome and then go forward to like the 22nd century even.
There were two times in the past of the Lord of the Rings where Sauron actually had the One Ring on his fingers. One was at the time of Numenor, which is symbolically for Atlantis. So the Atlanteans were the first who had this. Had this time of this thing that they had a hidden elite who controlled everything and corrupted everything, which is ultimately why Atlantis was destroyed. And then they searched again through the time of Egypt and peaked again in ancient Rome. And then luckily they were stopped, basically because they failed in expanding through Germany, because they were ultimately stopped there. And then after that, everything collapsed. But then, so to say, the way of thinking that was spread by the Romans, this way of thinking of it also goes along with the legal system, which is also symbolized by the One Ring. It's this attitude that whenever there is a legal dispute, the original attitude of our ancestors before the Romans was, whenever there's a dispute, all people have their rights. And you see two people and you see that both get their right met. And you see, where is the dispute that seemingly not both can have their right? But then you see, okay, you find a solution that both can live with. And that's basically what a legal system should do. But what the Romans did is, when there's a dispute, you find one who is guilty and who has to pay. You kind of commercialize it. You always find one who has to pay. You put a burden on someone and he has to pay forever. And that's what the monetary system is. You create debt and people have to pay forever. And that's not what an economy should do. So this way of thinking was kind of overcome to a certain extent through the downfall of Rome and through the Germanics taking over Western Europe. I mean, the Lombards took over Italy, the Franks took over Gaul, the Goths took over the Iberian Peninsula, the Anglo-Saxons took over Britain. So, and that is how the Western culture was created. So the Germanics, the symbol is Isildur, you know, Isildur, who the Germanics who defeated Rome, but then held on to the ring that was this thinking of the Romans, also creating hierarchies who rule over the others. So like this way of creating an aristocracy was not there in the Germanics before. That was due to the Roman influence that developed. So you had these hierarchical societies. That was holding on to the one ring in a certain way. But the economy was kind of freed from that. So there was no rich-poor divide was not there throughout the Middle Ages. It only returned at a certain time. And that is when the small groups formed, like in the 14th century, that are today about to get control over the entire planet. And that's all shown symbolically by, what I wanted to say, Isildur was the Germanics, and they took over like all the Western Rome, like Italy, they took over Italy, they took over.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Gaul, which became France. They took over Spain and Portugal. They took over Britain. And that is basically what the area that created Western culture, because that's the main parts where the white people from the States came from, basically from that part, from that Germanic or Germanized parts of Europe, and also the Australians and the white South Africans. And so that's basically the Western world. That is Aragorn, the heir of Isildur, the culture that goes back to this ancient Germanics and the parts of Europe they took over. And that is today the part, the one person Sauron fears most is Aragorn. So the one thing that the Western, that the global elites who try to take this planet, the one thing they fear most is the original Western values that we hold and that were very much corrupted in the last 60 years through all the things that happened to the Western world, like the sexual revolution, the feminism, and this whole complete spread of materialism and selfishness and ego and me, that went into the culture and that is really destroying our cultural roots. But if we get back to those roots, if we can revive this true Western culture that really protects freedom, if we can preserve that, then they will fail. And they know that. That's why they have been trying everything to destroy the Western world in the last 60 years.
Did you know that Tolkien was born here in South Africa?
Yeah. I know that. And you know that the word Tolkien and the name Tolkien is a German name. So he had German ancestry also.
Yes, and well, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but his father was a banker, which gave him some insight.
Okay, that doesn't astonish me.
I might have it wrong, but I recall reading that somewhere, which would also, which would also then feed into how he would have understood the monetary system.
Yeah. And he was absolutely horrified by the world wars. He absolutely hated that Western people, that Western peoples were killing each other off. That was such a disaster.
So obviously, Ludwig, I know it's very complex, but just very briefly, anybody listening to this will immediately want to know how some of the characters fit into the framework that you you're laying out.
Yeah. If you know the the tree of life, you know what it looks like. It's like there's a circle at the top, and then you have two, and between the lower two ones, there's a central one, and there's one. That's a depiction, really, of the seven levels of human consciousness, from physical to the divine. So it's the physical, the energetic, the mental, then the heart, which is at the center, then the spiritual, then the soul level, and then God. And all these levels, for all these levels, Tolkien has symbols. So if you know, if you happen to know the, we just briefly touch it, right? Mm. If you happen to know the Silmarillion, it it's Ilúvatar at the beginning who creates everything. So that's his symbol for God. But he basically creates the Valar and then leaves the scene, and the Valar do everything else. Sorry, my voice. I have to oil my voice, otherwise I'm losing it. So the next two parts are the Valas, who then went on to create everything So he created the Valas, and he created like these two continents, Aman and Middle Earth. Aman is the symbol for unity consciousness, where you have only God, only the divine, and so to say, of the positive negative side, you have only the positive. There's no second. There's no negativity. Just love and awareness and everything that is divine. So, but that's a state that you can lose and drop into duality, where there is also ego and negativity. And that place that we can drop to is Middle Earth, where the elves that committed a sin in Aman and then had to leave and had to go to Middle Earth. So that's this condition where the Bible says when Adam and Eve lost the paradise. So that's this fall from unity into duality, where everything is connected. You can't have joy without sorrow. Everything has a second side. And that's the experience we make on Earth as humans. So that's basically where he starts and develops everything else. It's kind of merely mythological at the beginning, but then becomes historical. Because he goes into Numenor, which is Atlantis, and then he goes into the second time that Sauron had the ring on, which is Egypt and Rome. And then that is stopped, but not really solved. And then you have the Middle Ages. And then the monetary system, as we have it today, returned in the 14th century. And then all the problems came. So so you have the soul level, which is the Valas. Then you have the spirit level, which is the elves. It's our spiritual, the spiritual level of our consciousness. Then you have the heart, which is the half-elves. And the half-elves, like Elrond, he has an ancestor called Melian, who came from Aman, who was sent by the Valas. So she was a Maya. So she came from that soul level. Then he has elven ancestry, which is the spirit level, and he has men in his ancestry, which is the mental level. So, which is a symbol that we had a spiritual evolution where the heart became the place that connects all the levels of our consciousness, and where you can, through the heart, through the love in the heart, you can experience God. It's actually the only way to reach God is through the love in the heart. There's no other way. That's what he showed through his symbolism. And also, of course, how we lost it, how we got lost in negativity again and again, and how... it's very complex to read my books, but I'm trying to... So you have the soul level. Let's get back to the symbolism, otherwise I get lost. You have the Valas, the elves, the half-elves, then you have men, then you have the dwarves, and actually you have 2 points for the Valas, which is male-female, 2 points for the elves, male-female, 2 points for the men, which is male-female, and then you have 1 point for the dwarves. And what people don't realize, there's only male dwarves, which of course, biologically speaking, that is impossible. But this is a symbolic world. And the qualities he's depicting through the dwarves are mainly male qualities. There's no female qualities on that level. Because on the level of, on the energetic level, the energetic part of our consciousness is about our desires, our sense of how we feel taken care of in life, how we feel in a group of people or in society, where it's about comparing with others. That's the energy where feelings like envy and jealousy come. That's the energetic part. And where you need a stand, like you have to take a stand of renouncing your desires, or taking a stand for non-violence, which is masculine attitudes. That's where there's only masculine dwarves. And then you have the lowest point, which is the physical plane, which is Middle Earth, where everything takes place. So all our experience is bound to this physical body that we have. So that's the entirety of the Tree of Life is depicted by Tolkien's symbolism. And what you don't have there yet is the hobbits, which is an additional layer which came later, where he says they are closely related to men, to us. And that's depicting that there came a time when human thinking was mostly dominated through certain patterns or habits of thinking. And hobbits mean habits. So there's habits. And there's three types of hobbits. There's the original English ones, I don't even know. They have names. Anyway, one stands, that's the three, what the Indians call gunas. So it's tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic. So the tamas is the tendency to laziness, to do nothing, to inertia. The rajas is a tendency to be active, to be always doing something. And the sattvic is the only level of habits that is actually suitable for the spiritual path, where you have a balance of activity and inertia, where you're not prone to laziness and you're not prone to restlessness, right?
Common sense. So that would be common sense.
Yeah, but it's a place of the mind where you can stay active but stay focused.
Mm.
Always focused and relaxed, and that state is what we need to progress on the spiritual path. And
Is that Frodo?
From those hobbits Frodo comes.
Yes, okay.
And Merry comes, and Pippin comes, and Sam comes, and Bilbo comes. The Baggins, which he explains at some point at the beginning of The Lord of the Rings, where these hobbits stem from. For him, everything is, who does someone belong to and where does he stem from? That's what defines the meaning of the figures. You see where they come from, then you can see, okay, what quality do they stand for? And the Baggins, the word bag, I mean, a bag takes on everything, right?
Yes.
The Baggins is his his symbol for common sense. It's common sense. So Bilbo both and Frodo, the difference being that Bilbo is the, I think, the right side of the brain, and Frodo is the left side. And there was a time when Bilbo passed on the ring to Frodo, which refers to a time around 1800, when due to industrialization, the way people thought in Europe and in the Western world shifted towards the more analytical side. That also when the school system came in, everybody had to go to school, and we were taught to predominantly act with the left side of the brain. That was the shift. But so we have all these influences in our life, and we learn so many things, most of which we don't have sufficient data to actually have an opinion on them. We just hear all these things, and we don't even have the time to analyze most things, to come to to a place where we say, okay, I have thought through this and I believe this and this. So mostly through life, because we just don't have because it's so complex what comes to us, particularly through the internet now and all the media, that the one thing that we always have to keep and use is common sense. Because it's our mind that makes a decision. You make a decision this way or that way. Mostly you have insufficient data. But the best guess you have, use your common sense. And that's why Frodo is the ring bearer. Because the problem that we have in our life, we ultimately have to use our common sense predominantly.
But even though towards the end, Frodo was losing that ability.
Yeah, because the that's a symbol for the spiritual path, that as human beings, we can only go to a certain point, and to ultimately reach the goal of returning to the true place, who we are, to the true child of God that we really are, that needs grace. And what ultimately...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Saves him is grace. So that grace everyone needs at the end.
Sam was the one who kind of saved the day in many ways.
Yeah, Sam is a symbol. When he thought of accompanying Frodo on the path, the first thing that came to his mind, and Master Frodo, are we going to see elves? I want to see elves. So he's completely focused on this spiritual side of life. The elves is the spirit, so the spiritual values. And the quality he stands for is optimism, staying optimistic. How hard it becomes, no matter how big the problems are, no matter how hopeless everything may seem, and even if our mind thinks, like Frodo thinks, I have no more hope left, if you have hope left, you go on, I just follow you. That is mostly the end. That's this quality. We can reach the world that we want. We can reach this world of peace, of freedom for everyone. It looks hopeless. But if we lose that optimism, we are lost. That's why Sam is the most important figure in many ways. We must have that, not because it's justified to be optimistic, but because we cannot live without optimism. We have to be optimistic.
What is the symbolism of Gandalf and Saruman?
Well, Gandalf is basically this. The wisdom chakra here. That connects through to the divine. So he comes from Aman, which is unity consciousness. So Gandalf is the ability to go even far beyond common sense and look with supreme wisdom at things. And that's a quality that we are actually developing through this, and which is which we need. I mean, we need this wisdom. Yeah, that's what he stands for. Saruman is, you see, the Western people. We came from the ancient Celts and Germanics. And in pre-Christian times, there was a lot of wisdom in these people, which was kind of largely destroyed and then, unavailable because of Romanization and because of Christianization. And Saruman is the quality that which became really active in the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries. Like one figure like that was Shakespeare, because he had all these figures which came from the pre-Christian time, like the, I think he had all, I don't know if he had elves, but fairies, all these things. And he tried to reconnect with that a lot. And there were these currents in Europe where people wanted to reconnect with that time and regain the wisdom from that time that was lost through Christianity. And that's Saruman. But those currents, those spiritual currents, they were largely corrupted through nationalism in the 19th century. That's where ultimately the fascism and national socialism came from. And that's the betrayal of Saruman.
Yeah, you actually see what it looks kind of like World War II that's being represented in the movie.
The Uruk-hai. I mean, there are these orcs by Sauron who hate daylight. And the Uruk-hai that Saruman created, they can run even in daytime, which is that the racist ideologies that were spread by the Nazis and the other fascist regimes, they were made normal. It was normalized to be racist against certain other peoples. So this utterly despicable view of looking down on people because of who they were, where they were born, or this was made acceptable. So that is that these orcs, these negative, absolute negative, despicable views of life, they were made to look normal. That's the, I mean, the Uruk-hai, they symbolize this this negativity that was created by fascism in Europe. And also you see that Saruman, after the war of Helm's Deep, he lost all his power. So that was the end of fascism. So when he lost, that was the time. That's one of the places where you can see where we are on the timeline. When Saruman lost, that was 1945.
What's interesting there also is that the trees, nature, got involved with that war.
Yeah, that is. I mean, that symbolism goes very deep. Yes, but the ends are. They are all. I mean, Tolkien has mortal and immortal figures, right? And the. We, as human beings, we have an eternal spirit and an eternal soul, which is there before we were born, which will be there after we die. And the aspect of the consciousness that is eternal in us is symbolized by the immortal figures. So the elves are immortal, the Ents are immortal, the Valas, of course, are immortal, the soul is immortal. And Sauron is not immortal, but he only dies at the end, which means that these negative forces that the human mind is bound to, which you would call ego normally, everything that circles around ego, that's what Sauron symbolizes, also means that the ego doesn't die when your body dies. Whatever ego you have, you will take into the next life and you have to cope with it. And only when you reach that spiritual goal can the ego leave and you can reach the place of true freedom and true peace. That's basically what the symbolism says in the end. But the fascinating thing is that the whole Lord of the Rings is actually telling the story that we are going through right now. We are going through this. Oh God, I'm getting lost. What did I want to say? It's a bit difficult to keep a focus. So the Ents, they symbolize the place of complete stillness within the human mind. So that's what you can reach through meditation. When you I don't know if you're a person who meditates, but if those who meditate, they know when you reach this place of complete inner silence and peace, that's the Ents. Right? And at some point that tree beard says, on which side am I? I'm on nobody's side because nobody is on my side. Because all the other qualities, they represent some kind of activity in the human mind. But he stands for this silence of non-activity. And every motion that is created in the mind is basically not on the side of the Ents, you understand? And what he shows is that during World War, during the Nazi era in Germany and World War II in particular, where the propaganda was reaching peak levels, and I mean on both sides, and on the Allied side where it was just full of anti-Nazi propaganda, kill the Germans, kill the Germans, kill the Germans, and in Germany, of course, there was a Nazi propaganda. And that's the Uruk Hai who went into Fangorn Forest and really angered the Ents, because that propaganda really destroyed the inner silence that people had. So it was impossible to escape because it was so noisy. And in a way, it was also absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if you look at an ideology that places people above others just because of who they were born as, it's so utterly despicable and ridiculous. And people, you see, the problem in Germany was people after the Nazis claimed power, those who spoke against them, they quickly landed in prison and many of them were killed. So people knew they had to withdraw. It was deadly dangerous to speak out against the Nazis. And they kind of sought an inner refuge where they disconnected from this noisy propaganda. And many really found God. Also, many of the soldiers who had they were in such a desperate situation, they just prayed. But through their prayer, many of them found this inner place where they were connected with God, found this inner silence. So Merry and Pippin, they are qualities. They stand for merriness and joyfulness, which is merry, and Pippin is for the lightheartedness. And the Nazis really wanted to take this complete power. But they didn't, Saruman wanted the ring from Frodo, but all he managed was to get his hand on Pippin and Merry, was that through the world they created, for some years, they took away people's joy in life and they took away the lightheartedness, which was these two hobbits. But through the revival of the Ents, which is that people had to go within through this horrors of World War II. They just had to go within and they couldn't do anything much. They couldn't do much else. And many found this inner place of silence. And in this spiritual connection, they also found that they would actually be able to feel some joy in life again and some lightheartedness. That is the revival of Mary and Pippin through the Ents. You see, it's a very complex, but it is exactly depicting what really happened. It's a different kind of history books, but because he shows what did really happen in humans' minds at that time. And that ultimately was a downfall because people reconnecting with God, they could utterly see the despicability and ridiculousness of fascism and of National Socialism. So the Germans also, they very much disconnected. There were not many Nazis left at the end of the war. They knew they had been completely betrayed by this. And
so, Ludwig, if we take in a slightly more meta view, if I can say that, of the control mechanism.
The thing is, when you ask me certain questions, I have to explain you what it means and why it means
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Right. So if we're looking at some of the sort of meta zoomed out control mechanisms, you had Sauron representing high finance, which you were talking about in the beginning. You had the king of Ringsroth representing the deep state, I believe. And then Minas Morgul representing what did you say?
Mainstream media.
Yes.
Mainstream media. The war comes from Minas Morgul. That's where the troops come. And that's the war of the mainstream media that started basically they took Osgiliath first. Osgiliath is the lowest chakra. So they went at people's integrity on the sexual level. So they started the sexual revolution, which is Sauron taking Osgiliath is a sexual revolution and feminism. Feminism was always targeted at destroying families, destroying the relationship between men and women, using women to destroy families. That's feminism. And so that was what the war started with, what they did in the 60s. And then they went on to the fields, which is really spreading of all the negativity have been spreading since 1970. All this materialism, this complete selfishness, that people should always think of themselves first.
Tolkien died before a lot of this stuff played out.
Yeah.
Was he making predictions, do you think?
I don't think he was aware of it. But when he was asked if this is mere fantasy, what he's writing, he also said that this is the truth. I know I'm writing the truth. So what truth? What truth did he write?
Okay,
so he had some knowledge that he was saying.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Conveying something very important. But he was inspired. He came from a place, as I perceive it, he came from a place of inspiration, divine inspiration. And because he was a man with a very, very good heart and he was very devout, he was a devout Catholic, but really he was really, as I feel it, he was really much, very much surrendered to divine love, to the divine. And that's why God could use him for that.
And part of his work was the suggestion that the first half of the 21st century there would be a five-stage turning point.
Yeah. This thing. So if you look at the events of, we have three elven realms, we have three realms of men, and we have three dwarven realms, which is the nine parts of the human mind, energetic, mental, and spiritual. And if dark forces or ego forces conquer the human mind to destroy us, they go for the energetic level first, then for the mental level, then for the spiritual level. So the dominance over the energetic level is symbolized by the One Ring coming back and then Sauron taking shape again. That's when everything was controlled by money, then the energetic level of the human mind was completely controlled by money. So the next level was the mental level, is the level of the political and legal level of our societies, which was basically taken over by the formation of the deep state, which has been ever since controlling our governments and also the legal systems, which really occurred in the 1780s. And after that, you have the total control over the spiritual side, which means the ability to determine what we think and not what we think to be true and wrong, and what we believe in and what opinions we hold. That was the takeover of the media, that they steer what we think throughout the media. When they had that, they basically had complete control over the human mind of most people. The problem they have is of course the minorities who they don't control, who are dangerous for them. And this happened by the First World War. Basically, by World War I, they had this complete control through the media, control of the energetic level, the money, the economy, the control over politics, the governments, and the control over what we think, through the mainstream media, since World War II. So if we ever were to liberate ourselves, we had to reverse that. So, and this reversal started basically in the late 1990s. And more strongly after 9/11. 9/11 was a big wake-up call for many people. And the first thing was that we liberate our thinking, which is basically what we have reached, I think, through the pandemic. I think people, they lost control over a critical mass of people. They can't control our thinking anymore. There's more than a critical number of people who are no longer fooled by what the media tell them. So where we are at is the next. So that level we have freed by now. The next level would be the most brutal level is this that they use the the governments to imprison everyone they don't want. Like that's, I mean, in Germany there are so many people in jail now who spoke out. And really that system of the King of the Ring race, he came from the Witch King of Angmar, right? He then transformed into the King of the Ring race. And the Witch King of Angmar is basically devil worshipping, sacrifice of children. So what we have to achieve is we have to stop that. We have to stop this sacrifice of children if we really want to take down the deep state. And that's what many people have been working on in recent years. And I think we are getting there. If we bring that to an halt, we will gain control over our governments again. And I think that's the next step. What we will see this year, next year, I think we will see it soon, that the deep state will actually fall. And all these things, and that we can ultimately protect our children, that they no longer steal our children to sacrifice them, which is still happening today.
I mean, Lord of the Rings ends on a very uplifting note. Yeah.
So then we have the liberation of our thinking, which already happened, the takedown of the deep state, which is hopefully happening this or next year. But after that, even without the deep state, they still have, I mean, they own this planet. They still have control over the monetary system. They still control finances. And they are about to steer things in a way where they are abolishing cash.
Mm.
If they manage to abolish cash and everyone going along, that would mean total dictatorship. So that's something we cannot allow. And there must at least be a minority that say, okay, when that point comes, there's no more cash. We have to create an alternative economy. So that's why when the deep state falls, we are not there. We are not at the end of our liberation yet. But then we have taken two of three steps already if the deep state is down. But we have to reach a point where we create true brotherhood among people, where these economic measures of exploiting others through investment and getting a return. Getting a return on investment is exploitation. And that's what our whole economy is based on. What we need to do globally, or as a mankind, as a whole, we need to get back to a place of brotherhood, where we exploit no one and everybody can live in peace and prosperity. And that's the ultimate step, and that's going to take some time after, still, some time after the takedown of the deep state. And, I mean, there's much more detail to this, but that's the overview you wanted to see, right?
Lord of the Rings took, what, 3-4 decades to write? And Tolkien... I mean, he dedicated his life to it. So trying to tap into this just in a space of 1 hour is insanity. And I think you've done a pretty good job thus far. And I suspect, Ludwig, I'll have to invite you back for more, because obviously there's a lot more.
Yeah.
But just
what you can
kind of
what I can
as we
suggest.
as we come in sort of for the final lap, if you could maybe perhaps tell me, how can we apply to our daily lives, Lord of the Rings symbolism?
This is all about spiritual reorientation and becoming true humans. That's what the whole symbolism is. He's shown us how we were tempted to go into a materialism and selfishness, that we thought we have a right to be that materialistic, we have a right to be that selfish, and then see that this selfishness and that this material is really destroying everything that is truly human. That we reorientate and go back and find the true values in life. That's something every human being has to do, to go back, go within and see what is really important for me. What values are so important that this is what I stand for? This is what I want to live for. And if enough people do that, we take a stand for a world where of peace and where the social values of how we deal with each other become more important than the gains, than the financial gains and things, then we can transform this world back into what God wants it to be like. I mean, it's a spiritual journey that everyone has, and it's also a spiritual journey that we take together collectively.
And Tolkien himself obviously didn't like the fact that money came with interest. And so he would have proposed interest-free monetary system.
I don't know if he knew it. I don't know. Yeah, he could have. I don't know. It was Silvio Gesell at the time. You know, there were three major projects. Before the Nazis took over, there were three major projects which were all crushed. I mean, no. There was one in Germany, one in Austria, and one in Switzerland. The one in Germany was over 1,000 companies creating an interest-free economy among themselves, like interest interest-free supply chains. And when that like was becoming successful, Berlin just looked at it and said, no, we prohibit this. So it was like crushed by the government. And Bergel also, when it was so successful that people created wealth in the middle of the world economic crisis, Vienna came and said, well, if you don't stop this, we're going to send troops, military troops. So they also crushed it.
It sounds a little bit like you were referring to the Hanseatic League.
That was earlier. that was in the
1930s. But I think that was also interest-free, wasn't it? Yeah, okay.
And it was basically the rise of the Nazis that stopped all that. There was very strong...
But wasn't the Hanseatic League also interest-free? I'm sure they were.
It was at the time. We had an interest-free economy in Europe, which was the phase of the absence of the One Ring. You know, the One Ring got lost. That was a time when in Europe there were forms of interest-free economy. And in the Middle Ages are very falsely depicted in our history books because it was a time of great prosperity, great freedom. Yeah. Women were naturally kind of equal, had equal rights. And nobody speaks about it because they don't want to know us. They want us to know it because to know that there's an alternative form of monetary system that would actually liberate us and make us all prosperous. And the only ones who would lose out would be the super rich. There would be no billionaires. But really, who needs to be a billionaire? Nobody needs to be a billionaire. Nobody needs that much money. Unless you want to exploit others.
All right, Ludwig, this is absolutely fascinating. How can I follow your work?
So I have translated two of my Tolkien books into English, which is available as an e-book. There's no, I have no publisher in England or America yet, but it's available in ebook form and it's also available as an audio book. So there was an Englishman who lives in Wales.
In Wales. Has he got an accent that I'm not going to be able to follow?
No, he's English. He just moved to Wales. He's English. No, it's very good English. He's from Manchester, so it's
okay. Ah, okay.
I don't know if he has a very, very slight Manchester accent, but not really. It's good English. No, it's good English.
Yeah, so for those listening, what are the names of the books that they can search for?
So it's The Ring Annihilation, basically, and The Symbolism of Tolkien. The whole Middle Earth world. Like it explains what are elves, what are men, what are dwarves, what are hobbits, what are wizards, what do these places mean? What are the seven seeing stones? What are the different rings, the rings of power? What are they? Everything is in The Symbolism of Tolkien, and then the Ring Annihilation goes from ancient Rome, basically. So the second time that Sauron had the ring on his finger, towards like the Lord of the Rings, which goes into our future. And yeah, Tolkien shows us we will reach this place. Although it looks hopeless to many people still, we will get there. We will reach a place of world peace and peace in freedom. Not their New World Order peace, but peace in freedom for everyone and prosperity for everyone. We will get there.
Ludwig Gartz, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.